You sent us down a fascinating rabbit hole this time, really digging into auction theory.
Yeah, specifically around reserve prices, right?
Exactly. And we've got the sources you shared. And, well, our mission for this deep dive is to try and crack the code on something that seems counterintuitive, the soft floor auction. Why would setting a minimum price, but one that's not actually binding, why would that be smarter than, the usual rigid ways?
That really is the core question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because standard auction theory, the stuff that's been around for ages, it suggests these non-binding reserves, these soft floors,
Right.
they shouldn't really affect the outcome, the final price.
But then you look around, right? Like eBay, they have that best offer thing.
Exactly. Or even selling a house, There's often that sense of a flexible lower limit. It happens all the time.
Yeah, so it makes you wonder what's actually going on.
The research you pointed us to, it brings in this really interesting angle.
Which
It suggests it might all boil down to something called loser's regret, and how these soft floor auctions kind of cleverly tap into that psychological aspect.
users regret,
And
yeah.
the results are genuinely surprising, actually. This research indicates soft floor auctions could potentially lead to more sales happening.
Yeah.
So greater efficiency
Okay, better efficiency.
and maybe even more money for the seller compared to what traditional theory says is the optimal auction.
Wow, okay. And you're saying it's not just about bidders being risk averse, but more about regretting missing out?
That seems to be the key differentiator here. Yeah,
Yeah.
that feeling of, ah, I could have had that.
Interesting. Okay, let's maybe set the stage first. Traditional auction theory, what's the usual advice about reserve prices, the hard ones?
The standard playbook basically is that a seller should set a binding hard reserve price
Binding. Got it.
and ideally set it higher than what they personally think the item is worth.
And the logic there is.
Well, the idea is if you can really credibly commit, and that's the key word, credibly commit to not selling below that price,
No.
you signal the item's value, and you might push the expected revenue up.
But like we were saying, the real world often looks different. People don't always stick to those hard lines, do they?
Not always, no.
Yeah.
It's tough. We see it happen. Sellers lower the price later, or they take it off the market and relist it,
Right.
which just shows that making that commitment truly credible, the way the theory assumes, it's actually quite difficult in practice.
Okay, so that brings us back to the soft floors, the non-binding ones. Under those standard assumptions, they're basically irrelevant.
That's what the theory predicts, yeah. If the reserve isn't a firm must-have price, if the seller can still say yes to a lower bid, then rational bidders, the ones acting purely economically, according to standard models, they should just ignore it.
It shouldn't change how they bid or what the final price is.
Correct. It's just noise, theoretically.
Okay, but then we throw in this loser's regret. Can you unpack that a bit more? What is that feeling exactly?
So loser's regret is that sort of pang you feel when you lose an auction, right? And the final price is actually less than what you were willing to pay.
Oh, yeah, that if only feeling.
Exactly. If only I'd bid a little higher, most people can probably relate to that.
And the research suggests this feeling is actually maybe more potent than winner's regret. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a key point. Winner's regret is, feeling like you overpaid.
Right. Did I pay too much?
But loser's regret tends to hit harder because when you lose, the winning price is usually public. You see it right there. You
Oh.
can immediately compare it to your own value and see exactly what you missed out on. But if you win, well, the losing bids usually aren't public,
Okay.
so you don't really know how much you overbid by if you did. It makes winner's regret less sort of concrete and immediate.
Got it. So just anticipating that you might feel that loser's regret, that can actually change how people bid, make them
Yeah,
bid higher.
precisely. That's the core idea. The theory suggests that anticipating future regret can lead to what they call overbidding, especially in first price auctions.
Remind us quickly, first price auction.
Sure, highest bidder wins and they pay the amount they bid.
Okay.
So to avoid that potential sting of regret, bidders might actually bid more than their true value or closer to it than they otherwise would.
And that leads to a pretty surprising theoretical result, doesn't it? Suddenly, first price auctions with regret factored in might bring in more money than second price ones.
That's one of the key insights from the modeling, yeah. Because that fear of regret pushes bids up in the first price format, it can actually outperform other formats, like second price or ascending auctions, in terms of seller revenue, at least when regret is a big factor.
Wow, okay. That already flips some standard thinking on its head. Hmm. So how does this connect back to the soft floor options we started with?
Right. So the soft floor auction seems designed specifically with this regret idea in mind.
How does it work mechanically?
Generally, the seller announces an opening price. That's your soft floor.
Okay.
Bidders can then choose to accept that price.
Mm.
If they do, they basically enter an ascending auction, kind of like a second price auction.
Where the winner pays just above the second highest bid, typically.
Exactly. Now, if no one accepts that opening soft floor price,
then what?
Then the auction usually switches gears and considers lower bids, often using first price rules.
Ah, okay. So it's sort of a hybrid. It offers a first chance, then shifts. What's the intuition there?
It's quite neat, actually. By offering that initial chance to accept the opening price, the seller is giving bidders away into what feels like a more regret-proof auction.
Because second price auctions theoretically reduce losers' regret.
Right. In theory, you bid your true value, so you shouldn't regret losing if the price goes above it.
Mm.
So by agreeing to maybe pay a bit of a premium, the opening price bidders get to avoid the potentially higher regret of losing in that first price phase if the soft floor isn't met.
Okay, that makes sense. So what are the big theoretical predictions when you add regret to the mix for these soft floor auctions?
Well, there are a couple of really interesting ones.
Yeah.
First, the model suggests soft floor auctions can actually bring in more expected revenue than even a standard first price auction.
More revenue.
Especially if you set that soft floor smartly. And second, they can be more efficient.
More efficient, meaning?
Meaning less chance of a no sale. Because having the soft floor mechanism might allow the seller to set a lower binding hard reserve, or maybe none at all, it reduces the risk that the auction just fails completely.
That's a powerful combo, potentially more money and a higher chance of actually selling the thing.
Exactly.
And how does this compare to, say, just explaining bidder behavior through standard risk aversion?
Mm.
People being cautious.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting. The research specifically tests the regret explanation against a risk aversion one. And their models predict that if bidders were mostly driven by just avoiding risk, these soft floor auctions should actually lead to lower revenues than first price auctions.
Oh, okay. So the predictions are opposite.
Right. Which is great because it gives them a way to test experimentally which psychological factor, regret or risk aversion, seems to be the dominant driver in these kinds of auctions.
Okay. Theory is one thing, but did they test this? You mentioned experiments.
They did. That's the next logical step. And the research details some really well-designed lab experiments.
What did they look like?
They set up auctions with two bidders each time. The item's value was random, uniformly drawn between 0 and 100 experimental currency units.
BCU, right?
Yep. And they ran a lot of rounds, 48 rounds, to get solid data.
And they compared different auction types?
Yes, quite a few variations. They had a baseline. Mm. Standard first price auction, FPA, with no reserve.
Okay, the control.
Then the soft floor auction, SFA, also no hard reserve, but they varied the soft floor level 40, 46, 52, 58 ECU. Then they ended hard reserves. A first price auction with a reserve, FPAR, where the reserve varied from 32 up to 50 ECU.
Okay.
And finally, the combo, soft floor auction with a reserve, SFAR. Here they varied both the soft floor and the hard reserve together, like soft floor 50, reserve 50, or soft floor 68, reserve 32.
Wow. Okay. A really thorough comparison. So what did they find? Did the experiments back up the regret theory?
Largely, yes. And some results were quite striking. The soft floor auction, the SFA, it significantly boosted revenue compared to the standard FPA.
How much?
Especially with a high enough soft floor.
Yeah.
Like when the soft floor was 52 ECU, they saw revenues jump by about 14%.
40%? That's substantial. And did it hurt efficiency? More failed sales?
No, that was the other key finding. This revenue boost didn't seem to come at the cost of efficiency. The item was just as likely to be sold to the bidder who valued it most.
That's really positive. What about when they added the hard reserves into the picture?
Even more interesting, perhaps. The best performing soft floor auction with a reserve, that was the one with the soft floor at 68 and the hard reserve at 32, it's significantly beat all of the first price auctions with reserves in terms of revenue. We're talking increases of 8 to 16%.
Wow. Okay.
And not only that, this particular SFAR setup was also more efficient, higher chance of a successful sale to the highest valuer compared to the FPAR that generated the most revenue among its peers.
So it really looks like the soft floor is helping get the best of both worlds, higher prices and fewer failed auctions.
That's certainly what the data suggests. It seems to mitigate the risk of setting a hard reserve too high while still capturing some of that price anchoring benefit.
Right. But you mentioned something else, something about how often people actually accepted the soft floor.
Yes. This was maybe one of the most surprising findings. The theoretical model, just based on calculated regret aversion, predicted about 22% of bidders would accept the opening price.
Okay, 22%.
But in the experiments, it was 46%, more than double.
Whoa. Why the big difference?
Well, the researchers suggest it means there's probably more going on than just the simple monetary regret calculation in their model.
Like what?
Things like maybe just a general fear of missing out FOMO on the auction entirely if they don't accept the first offer. Or maybe the soft floor acts as an anchor, you know, a reference point that influences their later decisions.
Or maybe it's just easier.
That too. Cognitive simplicity.
Yeah.
Accepting the known price might just feel easier than figuring out the optimal strategic bid in a first price scenario.
So putting it all together, the soft floor seems to get the revenue benefits of a hard reserve. Establishing that initial price point.
Yeah.
But without the big downside risk of scaring bidders off or ending up with no sale if you set that hard reserve too high.
That seems to be a really good summary of the findings, yeah. It's a more nuanced approach, one that seems better aligned with how bidders actually behave, considering these psychological factors.
So these lab results, they seem to have pretty big implications for real-world auction design, right?
Absolutely. It helps explain why we see these kinds of mechanisms like best offer or negotiable starting prices used so often in practice, even when older theories couldn't really account for their success.
Right.
It really underscores that understanding bidder psychology, especially this idea of regret, can be a really powerful tool for designing better auctions.
And they even mentioned this could apply beyond simple single-item auctions, like for selling multiple things at once.
Yes, they touch on that briefly. They mentioned, for example, that Thailand was considering a soft floor-type mechanism for a big spectrum auction, selling multiple licenses simultaneously.
Interesting.
And they also hinted the principles might even apply in auctions where values aren't purely private, where there's some interdependence between bidders' valuations. So potentially broad applications.
Okay, so if we had to boil this whole deep dive down, what's the main takeaway about soft floor auctions?
I think the key thing is they're not just throwaway non-binding prices. They're actually a strategic tool. They tap into bidder psychology, specifically that powerful emotion of regret. And by doing that, they can potentially lead to, well, better results, more revenue for the seller, and maybe more efficient outcomes overall with fewer failed sales.
And it's striking how the experiments showed bidders are even more willing to engage with these soft floors than the pure regret models predicted.
Exactly. It hints there are these deeper behavioral drivers at play, maybe anchoring, maybe simplicity, maybe just that raw fear of missing out.
Which really leaves a fascinating question for our listeners, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Thinking about other situations, negotiations, pricing decisions, maybe even personal choices. Where could managing this idea of regret, that fear of a missed opportunity, be applied?
That's a great thought provoker. It definitely pushes us to think beyond just the numbers sometimes, doesn't it?
It really does. Well, this has been incredibly insightful. For anyone wanting to go deeper, the research we discussed, particularly from Bergman and his colleagues, is definitely worth checking out. It's a real eye-opener.
Agreed. Fascinating stuff.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us on this deep dive.